Hi, this is Drew, and thanks for listening to our podcast. Hopefully you've been enjoying our show for a while now, but if you're a brand new listener, then the next 50 seconds are not for you, so just go ahead and fast forward a bit. I just wanted to ask our longtime listeners to consider becoming patrons of The Drew Marshall Show, because by throwing us just a few bucks each month, you'll be helping what many tell us is the most brutally authentic spiritual show they've ever heard stay on the air. Look, as loyal podcast listeners, you've been getting the same programming our radio listeners have been hearing live Saturdays 1 to 5 for the last 16 years. Except you get to hear everything commercial-free, you smart consumer, you. Well, because of a brand new arrangement with our studio, our expenses have now gone through the roof. And to be brutally honest, we could use the help to cover those costs. So just before you go to bed tonight, maybe you could stop by our website and click on the giant click here to become a patron sign. And if a whole bunch of you were able to scrounge up like $4 per month, then individually your $4 would have just made a massive difference in helping us cover what it costs to bring you the Drew Marshall Show. Okay, that's it. Sorry to bug you. Now on with the show. I hope you have a good sleep tonight after you become a patron.
Putting up reindeer, singing songs of joy and peace. Oh, I wish I had a river. I could skate away on. Yeah, but it don't snow here. Stays pretty green. You won't make a lot of money and spit this crazy scene. I wish I had.
Man, I'm telling you, my Christmases are not the same unless I've got a little Bing Crosby and a little James Taylor. A little old, a little new. Actually, James is pretty old now.
A little old and a little older.
Yeah, that's right. You are listening to The Drew Marshall Show. Thanks for tuning in. It's our Christmas special, and joining us now on the show, well, she was called the best preacher in the family by her father,
really?
Mr. Billy Graham.
You would know.
Of course, Franklin was very upset about that and has keyed Ann Graham Lotz's car a number of times. Ann Graham Lotz speaks around the globe with the wisdom and authority of years spent studying the Bible. The New York Times named Ann one of the five most influential evangelists of her generation. She has been profiled on 60 Minutes, has appeared on TV shows like Larry King Live, Today Show, Hannity Live. Speaking of the Today Show, Kathy Lee will be joining us at 4 o'clock today.
And she's hung out with me, so.
Who, Kathy Lee's hung out with you?
No. Our guest.
Oh, Ann Graham Lotz hung out with you.
Way back.
Oh, right. You took a picture backstage with her or something?
Yeah, once.
And she has not been able to sleep properly since. Her Just Give Me Jesus revivals have been held in more than 30 cities in 12 different countries to hundreds of thousands of attendees. Ann is a best-selling author and award-winning author, of course. You know, those two things kind of go hand in hand. Her most recent release are The Daniel Prayer, Wounded by God's People, which I loved, Fixing My Eyes on Jesus, Expecting to See Jesus, and her first children's book, Heaven, God's Promise for Me. The website is Ann Graham Lotz, LOTZ.org. Ann, with an E on the end, GrahamLotz.org. And she joins us on the show again. It's been a few years. Hello, Ann. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Drew. I'm so glad to join you. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I have wanted you to be on for a while, but your life has been, I don't know, crazy?
Crazy. You know, life just throws you curves sometimes, doesn't it?
You have had more curveballs than the Toronto Blue Jays, I'm telling you. So how are you feeling? What is going on with your health?
Well, you know, it's a challenge, and on August 17th, which was the three-year anniversary of me finding my husband in our pool, from which he never recovered. He went to heaven 3 days later, but on that same day, August 17th, at the same time of day, between 3 and 3:30, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I had a mammogram, and I just, you know, at the time, Drew, it just was a chilling thought to think that. And I believe there's an enemy. I believe the devil is alive and well, and you know, after God's people, especially the leaders of God's people. And I thought, how could he have that kind of access into my life? Because I felt like it was so bizarre, you know, that it would be the same time. And then it was like the Lord just whispered to me, and you know, that was the same time of day. It was on a Friday between 3:30 in the afternoon that Jesus gave his life for me on the cross. And so I felt like God just whispered that, and the blood of Jesus trumps death, disease, the devil, and I just had peace, and I've had peace ever since, but I had to go through surgery. I'm now in the middle of chemo, so I've had four chemo treatments. I have three more, and then I'll have a month of daily radiation, but the prognosis is really good. So it's a, you know, Drew, it's just a new aspect of my faith journey, and go ahead. I say the thing I'm so thankful for is that my faith and my relationship with the Lord is strong enough, vibrant enough, that this is just, I embrace it because I'm experiencing him in a new dimension.
Okay. You know me well enough to know that my brain goes right to, really? In other words, Anne Graham Lotz, are you really telling me that you've not gone through any dark night of the soul? You've not, raised your fist to God in the air and go, enough already, I don't, or even, let's talk about unanswered prayer. I mean, how has all of this impacted even your theology?
Well, it just makes my faith stronger. And prayers, we come to God, it's a conversation. And so there are things I can ask him for. Like, certainly, I began asking him for healing. I felt like he gave me a verse, a promise in scripture that said that, through the prayers of others, pray for one another that you would be healed. And I just laid hold of that. So I put out the diagnosis. I let everybody on my social media know about it, ask them to pray for me. I had my own prayer team praying for me. And so when I went into surgery, Drew, I was halfway expecting to come out and the doctor saying she couldn't find anything. But instead of that, she not only found the cancer, but it had gone into one of the lymph nodes, which then changes the chemo and the whole treatment. And so what happens is that I just rest in God's perfect will. So I don't want him to give me what I want. I want him to give me what he wants to give me. Okay. And I feel like he's given me a journey that's a challenge, but it's a blessing at the same time because I'm closer to him and I have something to share with other people who are going through the same journey. A lot of people suffering from this.
Okay, you are the perfect person for me to have this conversation with. So just bear with me. This is going to take a little bit to explain, but I need your help understanding or your help processing something that I've had a tough time with over a while. Okay?
Okay.
Your husband dies.
Yes.
Your daddy dies.
Yes.
You get breast cancer.
Yes.
And I just heard you say you believe in an enemy, the enemy of God, and you especially believe that the enemy attacks those who are doing great things for the Lord.
That's right.
Okay. So I have called that over the years, I've called that target theology. In other words, there's a target on the back of your head. The more you do for God, the bigger the target on the back of your head is.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a hard time believing that. I have a hard time with, so wait a second, I surrender, I humble myself, I do everything I can for God, and I'm doing great things, and God, for whatever reason, allows this enemy to come in and kill my husband, kill my father, give me breast cancer, or in the case of, Tim, what's the name of that singer that who's...
Stephen Curtis Chapman.
He had one child accidentally drive over another child in the driveway. And you think, okay, what kind of God is this again? And just explain the plan to me, because if I'm going to do more for this God and my kids are going to die or my husband's going to die, I don't know if I want to do more for God.
Well, yes, I agree if you look at it that way. That would be sort of a scary thing. But that's not the way it works, Drew. And life, whether you work for the Lord or whether you don't, people get cancer. People have their husbands die. People have their daddies die. So that's part of life. But what happens, and I do believe the enemy can come in and attack, but only with God's permission. Job, suffered just incredibly and found out later that Satan had bargained with God, to try to cause Job to suffer so that Job would curse God. But Job never did. Job remained strong in his faith. At the end, God gave him seven times more than he had in the beginning when he had lost it all because of Satan took it. So there's stuff playing out in the cosmic universe that I don't understand either. But what I do know is the Apostle Paul, who was somebody who stepped out in faith. He was probably the strongest, most well-known leader of his generation. He was attacked again and again and again, but he said that God's strength was made perfect in his weakness. So he said he rejoiced in his weaknesses and his infirmities and his sufferings, because that's when he experienced God in a new way. Jesus himself, you talk about having a target on the back of his head, he did also, but look at the way he triumphed. And so life isn't about being easy, about being comfortable, about being safe, about taking no risks. Life is about triumphing over the obstacles and triumphing over some of these hardships. And while you do, you grow in your relationship with the Lord. And at the same time, he gives me opportunity to turn around, call back to people behind me who are suffering and don't have that relationship with the Lord, or they don't have a strong faith, or you know, they're confused and angry, and so God has given me multiple opportunities to encourage other people who are on the same journey, maybe just don't have the same relationship with the Lord that I do.
Boy, everything you just said there certainly contradicts the whole name it and claim it, blab it and grab it theology.
That's right.
You know,
right.
All those.
That's a lie.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that's a falsehood, and it's misleading to a lot of people.
Yeah, and for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about the preachers that stand up there. Usually, now this might get me into trouble. So, Ann, you don't have to agree with this. It's just me saying this. Usually, it's a fairly wealthy pastor speaking to either a very wealthy group or a very poor group, and it has to do with we actually need a little more money to run our show here, and here's a way to get you to give more. It's called a seed offering. If you give us $50, God may give you $150. Ooh, there's a tantalizing little tidbit of nonsense. Okay, I had to get that out of my system.
You can't imagine the Apostle Paul doing that. I can't, you know, so I study the scriptures and I read what God's word says, and you look at the examples of people in the Bible, and the Apostle Paul would never have charged for people to come into that amphitheater in Ephesus. He would never have charged to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. You know, he never, in fact, he said he worked hard at making tents, so that even though he deserved to be paid for his ministry, he refused it. So no one could think he was taking something from the ministry and that he was in the ministry for money.
That's so interesting. I just had a conversation at breakfast this morning with someone, and I said, the last thing we need is more ministries, because he was talking about, maybe he was going to start a ministry or whatever. And I said, look, man, you know, the apostles, they all had trades. They all had jobs. They supported themselves.
Yes,
and then they
yes.
did, you know, ministry and just as a real part of life. Anyway, yes. I'm ranting a lot with you. Wow.
Keep it up, Drew. Keep it up.
Okay, so listen, what is the connection? No, hold on. Before I go there, I want to ask. Hold on. I should have said this at the very beginning. Anne, mm-hmm. Your daddy died.
Yes.
I'm just, I said this years ago. Tim, you may remember, but there would be something different in the spiritual ethos when Billy Graham goes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something different in the air. I'm so sorry for your loss. Obviously, he lived a long and wonderful life. And boy, if the rest of us had a life like his and could live as long as he did, we'd just be thoroughly blessed. But I don't care how you write it down. When you lose your parents and you've lost both of them now, it sucks. It's not good.
Yeah. You know, it's not. And the thing I thank God for is that we had him actually 10 years after Mother went to heaven, and none of us thought that Daddy would last that long, because they were so intertwined, they were so in love, and sort of like the Bushes, you know, with George and Barbara Bush, it was just not surprising at all that he would leave so quickly after she had. And so we thought Daddy and Mother would leave sort of close together, but Daddy was with us 10 more years, and during that time we had the most precious visits and conversations. And you know, I feel like with Mother there, she took up a lot of our attention. Without her there, we gave him our full attention, and he was a father and a grandfather and a great-grandfather. Just he was, it was wonderful. So the fact that he died, although it's hard and we've shed plenty of tears and we have those lonely moments, at the same time, he was so ready to go. He was 99. He couldn't. You know, he couldn't do for himself anymore. He had to be fed and bathed, and, you know, he just was so weak. A still spirit was wonderful, and he had a precious, sweet spirit. But I'm so glad for his sake, Drew, that he's now home with Mother, home in heaven, and I'm sure he's enjoying his reward. One day I want to see the look on Jesus' face when he saw Daddy, you know, and just what a precious celebration that was. And maybe we can see a video replay.
Yeah. Wonder if they'd high five, hey?
Did they? Hey, what's up, bro? Welcome.
It's about time, Jesus says. Hey, so what does it feel like, Ann, you know, celebrating your first Christmas without your daddy, Billy Graham?
You know, the hard thing, Drew, actually was Thanksgiving, because for Thanksgiving, we've gone up to Daddy's probably the last 40 years in a row. We always go to Daddy's, and we open it up for everybody. We used to do it in his home, and then it outgrew that. We went to his office, and we went to the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove, and we've had as many as 75 and 80 for Thanksgiving, but the last few, it came back to just being the family around the table. And and so Thanksgiving was hard, because we always did it with Daddy. For Christmas, I always did Christmas for my husband's family and for his parents. So that was hard when they both went to heaven, and that changed our Christmas celebration. But Christmas for me has always been here with my family and my husband's family. So it's not it's not as difficult, actually, as Thanksgiving was. Thanksgiving was, and I had just had a chemo treatment. I couldn't get out of the chair, so my children fixed the meal, and we gathered around in our family room, and it was just real sweet. It was wonderful, and it was such a big change from the way we'd celebrated it for 40 years, so maybe that was good, because that's this good. Year I couldn't have gotten home to see Daddy anyway because of the chemotherapy, but you never, and I don't know if your parents are still with you, but you always have that empty place in your heart, but you have plenty of memories, you know, just I remember Daddy's smile, the way he looked at me, the way he looked at my grandchildren. The last thing I heard him say, Drew, as we walked out the door from Thanksgiving last year, he called out to my youngest granddaughter, and he said, "I love you, sweetheart, and I love you, darling," is what he said. And he said it so clearly, you know, just, and that was, so things like that, little memories are precious, and I know I'm going to see him again, Drew, so this life is not all there is, and I'm confident I'll see my husband again, I'll see my mother and father, and those who've gone on before us who've put their faith in Jesus.
Ann Graham Lotz, we're just about to say goodbye to Ann, but just before we go, I read a couple things that I wasn't understanding, so that's why you're here, Ann, because I'm okay. Kind of a dope, and I need people like you to help me figure things out. Stop it over there, Tim. What is the connection between your cancer and Israel?
You know, I don't know if there is one, but God told me years ago that my messages, I would live them out. So Just Give Me Jesus, that you mentioned in the intro, that was my heart's cry for a fresh touch from heaven. And then I wrote it out, and messages began those revivals. The Daniel prayer was a burden I had on my heart to pray more for our nation, for revival of the church. And I wrote it out, and so I feel like the books that I write, the messages I give, are part of my life's experience. So when I had cancer, I was thinking, I'm 70 years old, and Israel is 70 years old. I was born May 21st. She was reborn May 14th, the same year. So we're the same age, and I felt for all my life that my life somehow was entwined with the nation of Israel. Very interesting, where God's opened doors for me to speak over there at the Knesset, as they're at their Jerusalem prayer breakfast, take tours, anyway, other things. And I felt very close to her, and then it 70, I thought, I'm 70 years old, why would I get cancer? Nobody in my family has cancer. None of the women in my family have ever had breast cancer. What's going on? And to my mind, was this a message I was to live out? You know, had God allowed me to have this? And so then I just, the thoughts began to come, and I wondered, at 70, Israel is 70 years old, and is she going to be suddenly attacked? I was suddenly attacked with cancer, life-threatening, and I've had to work hard through chemotherapy and radiation to battle it. And is she going to be suddenly attacked in a way that would be life-threatening for her as a nation? And will she have to, not like 67 when she was delivered quickly, but will she have to fight like I'm doing through chemotherapy and radiation, village by village, street by street, house by house? And I don't know that, but I became so burdened. I actually put that on the shelf for a week. I thought, I can't put that out there. It sounds so bizarre. And I couldn't release the burden. I felt like if I didn't say it, God would hold me accountable and I'd be disobedient. So I wrote it in a blog that got picked up. My urge to Israel, it's time for her, as Joel says, to return now to the Lord and repent of your sin, and who knows but that he would leave behind a blessing. He can protect Israel if she'll turn to the God of her fathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then for God's people, I was praying the Christians, asking them to pray for Israel now with that in mind, that she may be under imminent attack. And so I just wrote a prayer for Christians to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're commanded in Scripture to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And so I issued that challenge to Israel to turn to God, like the prophet Joel said, and then for Christians who call themselves by God's name to pray for the peace of Jerusalem before it's too late, to pray for her protection.
Wow. Wow. You know, I don't think as much as you do. I just...
you think plenty. I just, you know, I read my Bible, Drew, and I let the Lord speak to me. It's like little whispers. I'm reading every morning just a few verses, and I ask him, what does it say? You know, what are the facts? What do those facts mean? What are those spiritual lessons? And then I just open my heart to hear him whispering through the Scripture. And so he doesn't speak with a loud voice. It's not handwriting on a wall. Just little whispers, a thought that leads to another thought, and then just sort of as I pray it through, a confirmation in my spirit, and that's what keeps me going. So in this cancer journey, I can tell you, if I didn't spend time with the Lord every day like that, developing and maintaining that vibrant, close, intimate relationship with God through faith in Jesus, I wouldn't be able to go through this as I am. But as it is, the doctor looks at me and she said, "Ann, you have an indomitable spirit." And I said, "Yep, and his name is Jesus."
Oh, I thought maybe she was saying you're stubborn.
Well, oh, she's talking about the abominable snowman.
No.
I don't know if it's a stubbornness or strength, but I believe it comes from my relationship with Jesus.
Well, there's another person who has a love affair with Israel and is actually heading over there soon again to do some scouting for some filming. Kathy Lee Gifford will be joining us at 4 o'clock today as well.
I'll tell you, she's a personal friend. I've just talked to her several times. You give her my regard. She's written a beautiful song that's going to be the theme for that tour that she's doing in Israel, that time in Israel. And she's a precious woman of God, so a sister in Christ.
Well, I will tell her that you say hello, for sure. Okay. And thank you for being, I might get in trouble, but here we go. Thank you for being the Graham that gets someone like me. I have a hard time relating to the rest of your family, but you, there's something about you. I don't get it. Well, but you get it, so thank you. I don't know. Did that make any sense, Tim?
Remember she had patience and she's indomitable?
Oh,
so
that's right.
I think that's connected.
That's right. Anyway.
You're a friend, Drew. I consider you a friend, and I always love to talk to you.
And thank you very, very much. Again, the website is Ann Graham Lotz, L-O-T-Z, L-O-T-Z.org, AnnGrahamLotz.org. And Ann, Merry Christmas. And I love you. Thank you so much.
Thank
Merry
you,
Christmas.
Drew. God bless you. Merry Christmas to you.
Bye-bye. All right, there you go, folks. Ann Graham Lotz. That was a big effort for her to join us on the show because, well, she's doing chemo.
Busy cat, too, like doing lots of stuff.
And yeah. Really big fan of hers.